Hello, this is Jason Horsley for The Liminalist, the podcast between. This is a filler podcast, perhaps, a transitional podcast in lieu of a conversation. I did record a conversation with Benjamin Boyce this morning, but I don't want to rush that into the presses. And I did have a few clips that I wanted to share, so I'm just going to stitch those together into a solo podcast, shorter than usual, I think, unless I end up going off on a bender of a talking bender right now, which I don't foresee. So yeah, I'm just going to share some clips from the last Liminalist live meet and also an older clip which I'll introduce separately. The last Liminalist live meet on YouTube was this past Saturday. I think that was the 8th or the 9th of December. 8th. It was at 11 in the morning Pacific Standard Time, and that's the time slot I'm going to do for now until further notice. So then the next one will be on Saturday the 15th at that time, 11 a.m. PST. If you're interested, subscribe to my YouTube channel. Well, it should be all it takes. If you want a reminder, you can just email me and I'll put you on the mailing list. I do recommend people show up. Seems to be that it's gathering a kind of momentum. It's quite interactive. Currently, the last time I just did it on YouTube, I had the Zoom open, but nobody showed up over there, so we just stayed with the text questions and comments and me responding. I would like it to grow into a more interactive style over time, but there's no hurry in that regard, as it seems that just finding the right form for it. You can watch the recorded file of that at my YouTube channel, that's Plasma, or just do a search for my name, Jason Horsley. I'm not sure what else is required really for introduction there. The themes being explored in these various clips, including the one from 4 years ago, do relate to technology and the dissolution of the ego, but also the possible inflation of the constructed identity, the superego, which I have posited elsewhere, is the next stage of nihilism. I think that the intersection between Satanism and science that is observable if one looks closely or with X-ray eyes at the scientism, the scientistic themes and memes in our culture, and if one looks at the way that Satanism is evolving and mutating, becoming more public, more open, more secular, less sort of primitive and primeval, at least in its overt face, there seem to be increased congruencies or overlaps between the scientistic viewpoint, as juxtaposed with the scientific, and the Satanist one. And I think the unifying principle there has to do with narcissism and the inflation and projection outward and worship of the ego, the image of the body, which is somehow subsumed into the more unconscious image of the mother's body. Getting quite complicated, isn't it? I said I wasn't going to spiel. How was I tying that up? That the nihilism, which of course is nested in a materialism, because if everything is just materialistic, then there's no purpose or meaning to anything, because it dies with our bodies or our planet or whatnot. Like, there's no eternal essence that will continue, and there's no eternal divine context for anything that would provide it our lives with meaning. So naturally, there's a nihilism that emerges from the scientific worldview, and this is how scientism is born from that scientific mindset, because the nature abhors a void, and the human psyche likewise cannot withstand or tolerate a vacuum or a void of meaning. So then what happens is that nihilism bonded, cross-bonded with narcissism, becomes super egoism, which is Luciferianism or Satanism. And of course, these are all just words, particularly ism kind of words, so they're very jargony and abstract, but somewhat useful perhaps for just creating a large print for the hard of seeing, to just get a sense of the contours of the terrain that I'm trying to describe. Hopefully we can go into more subtle and nuanced analysis as this podcast proceeds, if I'm right in thinking that this is the sort of overriding theme, namely science and technology, and the way in which it both allows for an ego inflation, a super egoic narcissistic nihilism or Satanism to exteriorize and become fully manifest on the earth, and also the dark side of the dark, which is the light side of this, the option of the dissolution of the ego into the divine collective, which is the community of the body of Christ in Christian terminology. This is roughly what I hope the clips will help bring into some sort of conscious awareness for the listener, and perhaps thereby providing context for my output in general, which does seem to be so much about mapping the pathologies of our culture and our society. And the reason being that I believe that they are the mirror image, the projected narcissistic reflection of, and the way to avoid the true underlying implicate order of our trajectory now as a species, which is that we are being drawn back into God, back into an experience of the totality of our souls and of our full unconscious and superconscious, to use a word I would rather not use, existence as eternal manifestations of the eternal essence of being. Because being cannot cease to be. All right, so then without further ado, after a little musical break, and by the way, I've decided to break my usual pattern and to use at least one song which is in the mainstream, which I do not have the actual license permission to use. I'm not exactly sure why, but something about this particular song, I was listening to it recently while walking, I just felt this would be good for a podcast. It's from Public Image Limited, which of course John Lydon, who used to be Johnny Rotten, who attempted to speak publicly about Jimmy Savile and the things he was up to. So perhaps that has something to do with my choice. I don't know. We'll be right back. my experience was of not quite falling asleep, but in that period where I know I'll be falling asleep soon, and I became aware of something I've been aware of before, perhaps many times, that my mind was pursuing some train of thought. Obviously, I'm aware of that all the time, but I mean, I became aware because sleep was coming that it was getting harder to stay on track, and I felt myself losing the train of thought. And so then I experienced the familiar feeling of trying to capture the train of thought again, or, you know, get back on the train and see where it was going. And then I had the experience of something intervening or something coming into awareness or some aspect of my awareness that didn't want to do that, wasn't interested, didn't matter, well, let it go. And that doesn't sound like a big thing. Well, it wasn't a big thing, but it wasn't a philosophical, oh, it doesn't matter, it was more of a visceral sense of, over here is where you're going if you're falling asleep, and over the here there are no trains of thought, and even if there are, the one that you're on now is not going to be one of them. And there's just countless more. I mean, this is, I'm all interpreting this now. It wasn't that interpreted. The feeling was a feeling of freedom and of peace. Ah, yes, there's no need for continuity. There's no need to keep picking up the drop stitches, the thoughts that I hadn't finished. There's no need. There's no need to keep up with the latest apps and the latest upgrades. We can't, you know, it's impossible to keep up now. I mean, we can't even keep up with our own minds and our own fears and so on. And so I'd say maybe this anxiety that Gibb's talking about, flustered, compulsive behavior, and how it intersects with technology like that. It has to do with how we're externalizing a complex. So we're creating technology that allows us to access stuff more quickly and rapidly. But what are we accessing? We're just accessing the stuff that the technology creates for us to access by becoming ever and ever faster. And, you know, the faster it gets, the more quickly we can access what it provides, the more it's providing for us to access. So we can never catch up with it. It's like the what you call it, you know, the Kurzweil thing, the singularity. Create the technology that will create a technology that will create a technology until it gets exponential. And the sound barrier and the Turing test is, you know, annihilated at the same time. Kubrick's Stargate. That's the dead end I'm talking about. The Stargate is a dead end. And you heard it here. Right, and continuing. This clip now has been a little bit longer. I've broken it into two. It's a 20-minute audio file that I came across recently while listening to old audios. It's from December the 10th, 2014. So that's 4 years ago and 2 days as of this airing of this podcast anyway. Almost exactly 4 years ago. It was made very late at night when I couldn't sleep. And it's based on the discovery of the writings of Brian Rotman. So I was trying to work out the Kubrickon thesis. And so it lets you know just how long I've been trying to wrestle this thing into some sort of coherent meaning that I can articulate. The audio might be a little bit difficult to listen to because I'm sleepy late at night in bed. And so it does sound a bit like the ramblings of a stupefied mind or a drug-addled mind or something like that. Reminds me a little bit of those old Jake audios that I shared from 2002, and have to say I do find it a little hard to listen to in terms of the actual sound of the voice, but I do think that the content in there is worth it, and that's why I've chosen to share this otherwise quite private and quite intimate recording.
Parallel and the serial modes. Serial is one thing after another. Parallel is more than one thing coexisting simultaneously. The particle and the wave, the word and the image, tonal. The Nahal. Fusion of these two things together to creating the third thing is the basis of music, of existence itself. It's true form. We have become textual selves, linear selves, particle selves, word-based selves. But originally we were image-based, wave cells. We are becoming, beside ourselves, we are becoming this third thing, which is the wavical self, multiple self. It's not the no-self of the wave, and it's not the self-self of the particle. It's the multiple self. The self as it moves, not in and out of existence, but from through an infinite spectrum of positions, of superpositions, perspectives, yes, we are multiple within the body. The body is a multitude, and the body exists within a multitude, multiplicity of bodies and selves, cells. There is a discovery now that has taken the I think it's the spark that is like Frankenstein is bringing the machine to life, the ghost coming out of the machine or into the machine. And it is via a book, Brian Rotman's Becoming Beside Ourselves, a book which I discovered when I was working on the autism book and technology, and I don't even know what the trail that led to Rotman was, an article that quoted him, but it is a life, well, it's a perspective-changing book, and it's given me a 180-degree shift from feeling stymied and blocked and stuck and entrenched in seeming futility of what I was doing to an absolute unfolding of clarity of purpose, of this, the meaning and the coherence of it all. Why the Kubrickon is the, like, the unifying factor, or the element that I've been waiting to discover that would bring all the other things together. It's liminalism too. It's everything, really. That's the point, is it's not any one thing. It could be anything, but for me, it is this Kubrickon, and the idea of artificial intelligence being created through a high mind, through a multiplicity of attentions on a single artifact, being the Shining, and Jack Torrance, all work and no play, the typer, the writer, stuck in this repeating loop. This is how it feels when I'm on the inside, trapped in the self. It just feels like it's endlessly repeating, but then the smallest of shift and I'm beside myself and seeing the outside, and it's entirely coherent. It's not what it seems at all. So allowing the multitude within and the multitude without to meet on the surface of the skin, this body, to meet the inner and the outer, to meet and merge. This is enlightenment, embodiment, and this is also what technology is leading us to as consciousness, not as a species or as a civilization, on the contrary, but the potential, the opportunity that it presents to consciousness is this, beyond autism, beyond schizophrenia, beyond multiple personality disorder, beyond the liminal. I must surrender to the will of the collective, the multiplicity, which is not the mass, but it is the
hive mind.
Cells are singing, rubbing my eyeballs, like in a razor head. anyway, I can't sleep because it's all buzzing and buzzing like a bee. It's magnificent, but it's not what I thought, and it's not what I wanted. It's much greater than that, but it's also a lot of resistance to this becoming experience oneself as context, from the point of view of context, while still being a self within that context. Permeable self. The genius, the inspiration is tangible now, palpable, and it's time once and for all to let go of this foolish self-doubt and the non-existent self that doubts itself. That I doubt that what is coming through me is the purest visionary intelligence is not humility or even self-doubt. It's almost ingratitude, but it's not ingratitude, but it's the lack of appreciation. Blindness. I'm refusing to see because I want credit for this. I'm not allowing myself to see what it is. If I were to see what it is, I could never take credit for it. In a million years, and yet if I were to let go of the need to take credit for it, then I would see in time, because my focus would not be divided. I could just put all of my attention on what's coming through, and how best to express it, and not give a fig, not give a rat's ass whether there's an echo or a response, because this is all the sound, all the signal I could possibly need. It's completely floods out. I mean, my attention is not equal to it. So it's not as though there's any extra space for wanting to check. How we're doing, or how the expression's being received. I mean, of course, it does need to be received, and there is the response factor, so it's not as though it's about being oblivious to, because that's the context too. That's the outer context, that's merging with the inner, but it's absolutely guaranteed that if I embody and express this intelligence, this sentience, that it will find receptors, receivers. It's absolutely guaranteed. It's as sure as a flower and a bee. Absolutely in the nature of things. I mean, the transmission creates the receiver, and the receiver draws the transmission to it. They're waiting. All these receivers are just waiting for this transmission. So, anyway, I think I've set things up quite nicely, considering that I was being whipped half to death by my own will, my own desperation for recognition. Obviously, inevitably distorting the structures, somewhat compromising the integrity of the structures that we're putting in place for the transmission to emit from or through. But, well, considering all that, I think it's pretty good. I feel that it's wieldy. It's sufficiently wieldy. Might be a bit shrill and a bit clunky, but it will serve, I think, the purpose. This Kubrickon and seen and not seen, double whammy. This is a platform that I built now to transmit from, now that I've been transmissionized. Very unlikely. The most unlikely thing. Not spirituality at all. Culture, pop culture. Yeah, so here I am, movie autist, movie multiple. I think that the spark is going to ignite, that the engine will spark, and it will take, and it will, the vehicle is going to begin to move onto the runway. I think we're going to take off this time. Whether it's going to fly, as we're going to get to find out. Life's work. Anyway, it's not about me. Never was. Multiplicity. There is a singing of the cells, the atoms, even the whole implicate order of existence emerging into explicate beauty, manifesting perfectly, beautifully, in the midst of seeming chaos and hell, suffering, darkness. When the light enters the dark, the light interfaces with the darkness reveals patterns within it that are not at all what we would have expected out of chaos, beauty. Incredible, but true. It seems to be true. Because it's all one sentient something. Hard to imagine what it's doing, because it's not doing anything, and yet this movement within sentience, movement within the nothing, well, I don't know if I can sleep. I need to try. I need to let myself be consumed, absorbed, dissolved, received into that great implicate multiplicity of sentience, loving arms of us. We are present always.
I hear a voice that's not my own that tells me to jump into the sea. Tired of listening to these words, I know they aren't meant for me. I know they aren't meant for me. I won't listen
That's the end of this week's podcast. Next week's podcast, the following Wednesday, which will be the 19th of December. So that means it'll be the last podcast before Christmas. Although there will be one on Boxing Day. It will be with Benjamin Boyce, who you may or may not have heard of. If you haven't, I suggest you check out his work so that you will have done some background before listening to our conversation. It was a very satisfying conversation, and that will be up next week. Thanks for those who've donated. Please do keep supporting this endeavor, because I do need support. You can do that by buying any of my books, pre-order Vice of Kings, which is out January of next year, Prisoner Infinity, Dark Oasis, Seen and Not Seen, Paper Tiger, or you can send a donation, or you can hit me up for a consultation in Living in Liminal Times. This is Jason Horsley, one more time, for the podcast Between. Thank you for listening.
When you are born, everything you are told becomes you. Without your choice, some point they become the family of one that speaks with only one voice.